Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior years shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoyt. No one can deny that the winter thus far has been incredibly harsh at times, with Winter Storm Grayson bringing sub-zero temperatures, blizzard conditions, including serious snow as far south as South Carolina, and floods in Boston. That, followed by rain and mudslides in California. Mother Nature then turned the tables for a quick January thaw before the East suffered another cold spell, and Winter Storm Hunter brought snow, freezing rain, and sleet to most of the country. As this program is being first aired on January 30th, the prognostication of Punxsutawney Phil is unknown at this time. Only those of you who listen on Saturday the 3rd will know whether he sees his shadow or not. Historically, though, the chances are he will, and we will be in store for six more weeks of winter. That being said, today's program features the Danish secret of getting through the winter from Next Avenue. While a year old, having been published February 2017, the secret itself is hundreds of years old. More on that secret from The New Yorker in December 2016, the Danish obsession of getting cozy, and from Homespun Seasonal Living, 10 tips to enjoy winter. We'll start with The Danish Secret to Getting Through the Winter from Next Avenue by Kate McCarthy. We might well do well to look to our friends in Denmark who have spent centuries refining their cold weather coping mechanisms. Indeed, the most fashionable Scandinavian import this season is the intangible, the Danish concept of hygge, sometimes pronounced hygge. The New York Times anointed hygge a certifiable trend in December, and one dictionary named hygge one of the top 10 words in Britain, along with Brexit and Trumpism. Danes have long been practitioners of climatic stoicism, since Denmark is cloudy, overcast, and or dark almost 64% of the time, and never hot. Even in July, the highs are in the 60s. For centuries, to compensate, Danes create hygge whenever and wherever they can, warming the damp, chill-you-to-the-bones cold indoors and out with fire and light. They also are more content in general than the rest of their fellow humans. Denmark is consistently ranked the happiest country by the United Nations, the United States coming in around 13. The word hygge essentially translates to connection, coziness, and fellowship, with forbearance and optimism thrown in for good measure. It's finding joy in simple pleasures and communing with loved ones in a low-key but meaningful way. Sipping warm drinks, watching the snowfall, embracing, and making the best of a cold climate. Winter is high season for hygge, since cold weather can be isolating. Choosing happiness through hygge. To an extent, it's about choosing happiness, says Denmark native Jet Savare, who was hanging out mid-hygge at the Danish-American Center in Minneapolis. On twice-monthly Wednesdays, those of Danish descent gather in the elegant Mississippi Riverfront building for a hygge-lige lunch, camaraderie, singing, lectures, and simple chit-chat. Doing so and enjoying that feeling of comfortable connection, Svari says, just naturally makes everyone happier and more positive. Her husband, Eric Brun, also born in Denmark, is on the board of the Danish-American Center. Brun says hygge-lige can be achieved only when participants are relaxed, when no one is trying to impress anyone, he says. Hygge is something that can be encouraged but not forced. Going offline. It's also about embracing the season. Pia Edberg, the author of The Cozy Life, Rediscover the Joy of Simple Things Through the Danish Concept of Hygge, believes that communing with nature without screens, distractions, and multitasking is an integral part of hygge. Hygge is about real-life connection, and I think people are craving it, she says. If it's tempting to be in touch mainly by keyboard, desist, advises Edberg. Constantly checking your phones and living online, especially on social media, she points out, is an addiction, just like anything else. She concedes that can be tough, because especially for many older adults for whom instant connection to anyone is still relative novelty. While teens are leaving Facebook, there's been an 80% growth in the last 3 years of Facebook users 55 and older. But political arguments online, particularly in a polarized nation, do not enhance positivity, well-being, and uplifting encounters in cyberspace or otherwise, Edberg warns. A native of tiny Nykøbing Falster in southern Denmark, Edberg suggests trading online obsessions for real connections with others. It's about simplicity. Real simple clothes, simple food, candles, just getting together, she says. For me, it's about unpretentious connection and enjoying your loved ones. You can create hygge anywhere. Do it. More cozy relationships make for a better quality of life. Keeping calm. In The Year of Living Danishly, British author Helen Russell writes that she was at first quite reluctant to give up London after her husband accepted his dream job at LEGO in Billund, Denmark. But, says Russell, the transplantation to rural Jutland, Denmark, was a revelation that changed her worldview. She's come to greatly admire the culture. Part of the reason they're happy, Russell says, is because Danes are calm, neat, organized, and focused inwardly. Hygge is part of that, she says, and is a perpetual state of mind, crucial to Danish living since the 18th century. And about that pronunciation, imagine the sound you make clearing your throat, Russell says. It's very guttural. Even if Americans can't quite pronounce hygge, cold city residents especially are embracing it. The key to being serene in winter and in life, Russell says, in addition to warm connections, is getting fresh air and mild exercise daily. Clutter, Russell points out, is not relaxing. It's not hyggeligt. Danes have a reverence for design, art, and their everyday surroundings, and they appreciate quality and minimalism. They have fewer things, but of higher quality, she says. Although hygge, she hastens to add, is not about getting your best crockery out, it's about letting your guard down. To learn more about leading a more minimalist existence, read Next Avenue's Great Decluttering Experiment. How to hygge. As we get older, we tend to get more isolated. Hygge is a great antidote to that. Here are a few things you can do to embrace the long, dark days of winter with optimism. Get out. Don't be a shut-in. Break out of your routine and seek warmth and companionship for cheap, good fun. A walk, a latte, singing at your place of worship, get fresh air every day. Have frequent, low-key, and unpretentious get-togethers. Employ soft lighting, good music, and comfortable chairs. Start groups, book clubs, salons, bunko, mahjong, as well as cooking, knitting, and poker parties are wonderful ways to form lasting monthly connections. Limit alone screen time, but do consider inviting friends for the Super Bowl, the Oscars, sporting events, Victoria, or any other TV series that promotes great discussion. Share meals, cook, bake, and/or order in. A simple stew, delivery pizza, scrambled eggs, or coffee will delight your guests. Create a cozy feeling with warm seasonal lighting and candles instead of overhead lighting. If it's dark, light candles, even at breakfast. Scuttle the clutter of unread books, bills, too many photos, dying plants, and outdated collectibles. Marie Kondo eyes, get rid of objects you never touch and that bring you no joy. You can't promote hygge with junk all around. Instigate and initiate. Contact friends, family, and those you love and miss with whom you've lost touch. Set dates. Make plans. Look forward to it. And that by Kate McCarthy, who is a Twin Cities writer. Now from The New Yorker, The Year of Hygge, The Danish Obsession with Getting Cozy by Anna Altman. In a 1957 letter from Copenhagen in The New Yorker, the writer Robert Schlappen reported that hygge was ubiquitous in the city. The sidewalks are filled with smiling, hyggelige people who keep lifting their hats to each other and who look at a stranger with an expression that indicates they wish they knew him well enough to lift their hats to him too. In the past year, this concept of Scandinavian coziness has made inroads with an international audience. At least 6 books about hygge were published in 2016 in the United States, with more in 2017. Louisa Thompson Britz, the author of The Book of Hygge, The Danish Art of Contentment, Comfort, and Connection, calls it a practical way of creating sanctuary in the middle of a very real life, and a cure for sad seasonal affect disorder in book form. Winter is the most hygge time of year. It is candles, nubby woolens, shearling slippers, woven textiles, pastries, blonde wood, sheepskin rugs, lattes with milk foam hearts, and a warm fireplace. Hygge can be used as a noun, adjective, verb, or compound noun, like hyggebusker, otherwise known as that schlubby pair of pants you would never wear in public but secretly treasure. Hygge can be found in a bakery and in the dry heat of a sauna in winter, surrounded by your naked neighbors. It's wholesome and nourishing, like porridge. Danish doctors recommend tea and hygge as a cure for the common cold. It's possible to hygge alone, wrapped in a flannel blanket with a cup of tea, but the true expression of hygge is joining with loved ones in a relaxed and intimate atmosphere. In The Little Book of Hygge, the best-selling of the current crop of books, Meek Wicking, the CEO of a Copenhagen think tank called Happiness Research Institute, shares a story about a Christmas day spent with friends in a woodsy cabin. After a hike in the snow, the friends sat around the fireplace wearing sweaters and woolen socks, listening to the crackle of the fire and enjoying mulled wine. One of his friends asked, "Could this be any more hygge?" Everyone nodded when one woman replied, "Yes, if a storm were raging outside." Like many of the best things from Scandinavia, hygge might seem to some Americans to come with a whiff of smugness. The term is often mentioned in the same paragraph that reminds us that Danes, or depending on the year, Norwegians and Swedes, are the happiest people in the world. Perhaps Scandinavians are better able to appreciate the small hygge things in life because they already have all of the big ones nailed down. Free university education, social security, universal health care, efficient infrastructure, paid family leave, and at least a month of vacation a year. With those necessities secured, according to Wicken, Danes are free to become aware of the decoupling between wealth and well-being. After our basic needs are met, more money doesn't lead to more happiness, he told LUK. Instead, Danes are good at focusing on what brings them a better quality of life. This vision of restrained pleasure harmonizes with a related Swedish concept, lagom, which refers to a kind of moderation. Pronounced with a hard G, the term is said to come from the Viking phrase laget om, or around the team, meaning that you should only take a sip of the mead that's being passed around so that no one is left without. Lagom means adequate, just right, or in balance, and it is said to have burrowed deep into the Swedish national psyche, if not that of all Scandinavians. It encourages modesty and teamwork and discourages extremes. It is related to fairness, the need for consensus, and equality. Lagom is how a Swede might respond when someone asks how much milk you want in your tea or if things are going well. Hygge shares Lagom's reference for measured experience, indulging in a piece of cake but not outright gluttony, a dinner with friends at home but nothing fancy. Some Scandinavians argue that Lagom, instead of promoting virtues like humility and moderation, encourages the kind of bland conformity that Nordic countries are often accused of. Louisa Thomson Brits, the Danish-British writer, casts hygge as a state of mindfulness, how to make essential and mundane tasks dignified, joyful, and beautiful, how to live a life connected with loved ones. Her book of hygge focuses on the concept's philosophical and spiritual underpinnings rather than its quirky objects. She explains that many households in Denmark still have a copy of a folk songbook that they sing from to affirm the ideas of simplicity, cheerfulness, reciprocity, community, and belonging. Danes, she says, prefer to gather in small groups to emphasize the unity of their inner circles. She admits that this can make them appear intimidating and impenetrable. These tendencies lend hygge its contradictions. What many see as humble, decent, and community-oriented may appear to others as insular and a rejection of what's different and unfamiliar. Scandinavia has a reputation for tolerance, but all three countries are tense over immigration these days and have seen surging support for far-right groups. Bo Lidgaard, a Danish historian, told The Times in September that many Danes feel strongly that we are a multi-ethnic society, but we are not and should never be a multicultural society. Hygge encourages its practitioners to shelter, cluster, and enclose. The most striking thing about hygge, though, might be how its proponents tend to take prosperity for granted. All the encouragements towards superior handicrafts and Scandinavian design, the accounts of daily fireside gatherings and freshly baked pastries assume a certain level of material wealth and an abundance of leisure time. As a life philosophy, hygge is unabashedly bourgeois, and American readers of a certain stripe will be familiar with its hallmark images, still lifes of hands cradling a mug, candles lit at dusk on a picnic table, bikes with woven baskets, and a child's safety seat leaning against a colorful brick wall. Artisanal this and homemade that, fetishizing what's rustic as authentic, what's simple as sophisticated, urban American sophisticates already know this aesthetic. We've aspired to it for a long time. What many Americans do not aspire to is Scandinavia's high taxes or socialist ideas. When transferred to the United States, the kind of understated luxury that Danes consider a shared national trait starts to seem like little more than a symbol of economic status. The very thing that Scandinavian countries have sought to jettison. Still, there are some lessons from hygge that Americans might heed. There's the Nordic insistence on knowing how to do practical things and doing them well, on taking care of your body with time outdoors every day. The hard-earned lesson of frigid Scandinavian winters is that there's no such thing as bad weather, only unsuitable clothes. That all you really need to get through difficult times is shelter and sustenance, kith and kin. And now from Homespun Seasonal Living, 10 Tips to Enjoy Winter by Kathy Lepsevic. Every season has their own joys and challenges. Winters can be long, cold, and dark. The inherent nature of winter can make it difficult for us humans to endure happily. Learn to make the most of this season with these 10 tips to enjoy winter. 1. Drink something hot. Find comfort in a mug of something warm. This is the season to enjoy any and all of the homegrown herbs dried over the summer and fall. Keep it simple or make it fancy. A nice balance of both is a great way to enjoy winter. herbal tea most days, a fancy coffee drink now and then, hot chocolate for dessert on Sunday, throw in a hot toddy now and then. Keep it healthy most of the time, but allow for indulgences too. These hot drinks have a way of soothing our souls and warming our bodies on cold, dark nights. 2. Snuggle up. Winter is usually cooler, if not downright cold, depending on location in the world. These cooler temperatures require warmer clothes and blankets. Snuggle up under a favorite blanket. Read books, watch TV, play games surrounded by the simple comfort of a blanket. It seems too simple, but there is something so cozy about a pile of blankets for everyone to choose from while practicing hobbies or doing nothing. 3. Read. Some people read avidly no matter the season. Some of us don't pick up a book during gardening season, no matter which camp you fall into. Winter is a great season to read. Hit the library or a bookstore to stock up. Read for fun and read to learn something new. A good balance of both is great. Snuggle up under that blanket with a cup of something warm and get lost in the pages of a book. 4. Go outside. To live seasonally, the seasons have to be experienced in the natural world. Get outside for a walk, go skiing, ice skate on the pond, simply get outside the house. Enjoy the sun, absorb some vitamin D, and take notice of what's happening in the natural world. Bundled up, put on several layers, wear a hat and gloves if necessary, but get outside as often as possible. This is simply the best way to make seasonal living a routine practice, because when we're outside, we're able to get a better sense of the season in our individual locations. Practice common sense, of course. Don't go out in a blizzard or in dangerously cold temperatures. But many of us can be quite comfortable in several layers with temperatures in the 20 degree Fahrenheit range. 5. Be creative. For many of our ancestors, winter was a time spent on hobbies and creative pursuits. Clothing was made, spoons whittled, rugs woven, etc. These creative pursuits helped pass time, allowed them to engage in pleasurable hobbies, and in many cases helped them earn money. Items were made in the winter and taken to town in the spring for selling or traded with neighbors. These are all things we can continue to practice in our modern times. Use the long nights to practice something creative. Use the finished items for the home, save them for gift items, sell or trade when possible, or donate to charity. 6. Eat seasonal foods. Eat the foods of the winter season or those preserved from the previous seasons. This is the season to eat that homegrown and home-canned applesauce, indulge in those foraged and frozen berries, and eat soups full of homegrown and dehydrated greens. Seasonal whole foods are perfectly designed to help us get through each season. Learn a new way to cook those winter squashes. Try a new soup recipe. Sample something new, but eat well and enjoy. We have a tendency to seek comfort foods in winter. Eat the cinnamon rolls occasionally and feel good about it. Just keep it balanced with healthy foods, too. Healthy food can also be comforting. Find those recipes and indulge. 7. Connect to loved ones. Use this time, often spent indoors, to connect with loved ones. Connect in a real person-to-person way, not through email or text messages. Invite friends and neighbors over for a soup swap, host a pizza night, or go for a ski together. It's easy to let time pass without connecting in a meaningful way, but these connections are important. Send actual handwritten letters and care packages to friends and family far away. Make it a point to share your enjoyment of the season with others. 8. Practice a random act of kindness. This winter season can be very hard on some members of our communities. It's cold. It presents a ton of hardships all by itself. While the sunlight is returning, our days are still plenty dark, and that is emotionally tough on many people. The people we come in contact with might be struggling in ways that we cannot comprehend. Sharing moments of kindness helps them and us. This is a good thing to do in any season, but can be especially welcome in the frigid temperatures. Be kind. Give hats or blankets to charities to keep less fortunate people warm. Buy a cup of coffee for the person in line behind you. Let that car merge. Pay a compliment to a stranger. Light candles. Winter does mean that the sun is returning. Each day is getting a little longer. However, the days are still mostly dark, especially for the more northern of us folks. Combat the darkness by throwing out light in the form of candles. Eat a meal by candlelight. Turn off the electric lights for a bit and bask in the golden glow of a lit candle. Make your own if you want to. Incorporate a little useful crafting in your winter enjoyment, or buy them. But light some now and then and use it as an excuse for a gathering where no technology is permitted and conversation is prized. And 10, rest. Take that afternoon nap. Heed the call to go to bed early. Allow the body and brain to rest in this season of cold and dark days. It's part of how our ancestors survived without electric lights and modern conveniences. They slept more in the winter. It's okay and right even to feel tired at an hour that might still be filled with energy in the summer. Embrace the uniqueness of this time of year and celebrate it at home. Make these 10 tips personal by switching and changing them to fit personal priorities and needs. Most importantly, enjoy winter by keeping it simple. Well, my husband takes advantage of that nap thing. I've never been able to do that very well myself. But no matter whether we will be suffering extremes in weather for the next 2 to 3 months, and I might interject here that Rochester suffered its most destructive ice storms in March. Being able to practice a little hygge should do us all good until we see tulips and daffodils springing up. So grab a blanket, a cup of tea, and cozy up with a friend, husband, wife, child, pet, or a good book. Thanks for listening. And until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.